important in this journey of suluk that we keep on taking stock of ourselves, making muhasabah. That's why it is said, "Mutu qabla an tamutu, wa hasibu qabla an tuhasabu." That you must kill yourself before you die, and you must make hisab before hisab takes place on the day of Qiyamah. It's very important. That means die before you die. And maut is such a thing that's yaqini. In today's time, nearly everything, there's dispute, difference of opinion, this and that. But when it comes to the masla of maut, there's no difference of opinion. They all are in agreement. Even the kuffar also agree that, yeah, it's going to come. So it's a matter of time, but every person has to taste death. That's Allah Ta'ala's nizam. Nobody stayed here forever. They made inkar of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one thing they can't make inkar of is maut. For that, Allah Ta'ala has a fixed time for everyone. How long he's going to survive in this world, how much time he's going to spend in this world. That is why muhasabah is important. Ihtisabun nafs. What was my state of iman prior? What is my current state of iman? So that assessment a person will have to do every day. It's not like just you carry on. Is my condition improving or is my condition retrogressing? That's the important thing. So you have to analyze it. For example, we came now, we just heard from Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Majlis. The person, when he came by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his iman became very strong. Then when he went back home, he finds there's a decline. The same thing happened to the Sahaba also. When they came in the Sahabah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, iman was pumped up. Then when they said, "Afasna al-azwaj wa dhayat," when we went home to our properties, our wives, everything, then we found no decline. You see? So from this you can see that we can't just go once off to mashayikh. It has to be frequent coming and going. For the iman to stay alive and stay strong, then you have to be in sohbat consistently. In, out, come, go. So it's like boosting your battery. So that you have to boost up your battery. So therefore, Allah has given us this beautiful month of Ramadan to boost us up. Is that it? And then afterwards, when we depart from the masjid, then we have to still keep ta'aluk with the masjid, and we have to keep ta'aluk with the mashayikh also. Must go frequently to the majlis, listen and apply it in our lives and live accordingly and do assessments on a daily basis. And if we go out from here and then we still go back to our own life and we go manmani zindagi, then Allah ka ghazab ka samna karna parega. The Allah Ta'ala's anger is also there. Now, when the hadith says, "Mutu qabla an tamutu," kill yourself before you die. What do you mean by kill yourself? Suicide not allowed. It's gunah kabira. What do you mean by mutu qabla an tamutu? Die before you die. It means you must kill your desires before you die. Kill your desires. Kill your khaishat that drives a person towards sayyat and maasi. You must kill that. Once you kill your desires, then a major hurdle has been crossed. That's one mafhum. The second mafhum of mutu qabla an tamutu, that every day make dhyan of maut. Think about maut every day. Frequent the qabrastan. Go and see all the people that we stayed on this earth, where they are today. You go there, you'll see an eerie silence there. And that eerie silence must send a shiver down your spine. All these people that came, Allah gave them so much risk, so much lifespan, so much money, family. Where they all ended up? All ended up under the ground. So the word mutu qabla an tamutu, kill your khaishat, that's one mafhum. And the second mafhum is that you must make the dhyan of maut. Constantly think about that. See, when a person constantly thinks about maut, it will take away the lazat of the dunya from him, from his heart. that enjoyment that a person attains of the dunya and attachment, you will find that the attachment to the dunya will start getting lesser. And besides that, you'll get ibrat by going in a qabrastan, and you'll go there, you'll read there, the marhumin will also get faida. But you're going inside a qabrastan. And when you read Yasin Sharif, Allah Ta'ala removes the azab for the whole day for the people of that qabrastan. So therefore, at the end of the day, we have to take stock. Yes, soch lo ke akela jaunga. When I go, I'm going alone. There's no one going to be with me. Aur hum aaj log jo hai guna khub karte hain. We make lot of sin nowadays. Why we make lot of sin nowadays? Isliye ke maut ko bhula diya. We forgot that we have to die. If you make this every day in a muraqaba of I'm going to die. I remember my ustad, Hazrat Mu'abras rahmatullah alayhi, used to always say, "Ye mera akhiri saal. This is my last year." Every year when he started, said that towards the, he'd say, "Ye mera akhiri saal." Akhiri saal. Allah. Then he would go to all the ustads one by one, ask them for maafi. If I've done anything wrong throughout the year, forgive me. Then he would go to the khadims of the madrasa. Those that make khidmat, he asked them for maafi also. So when my time was up to come away home, he said, "Tum reh jao ya, don't go, stay." I already stayed 10 years. So I told him, "Hazrat, I have to go. So my father needs me, and but I make niyat, wherever you be in safar, I'll join you in your safar. Whichever country, Ramadan in Kareem. Because he travels all over the world, Ramadan. So I said, I'll join you in Ramadan, but let me go now." Then he said that, "Maulana Ibrahim sahab, Mufti sahab ke saath akhir tak rahe." Maulana Ibrahim Padur sahab stayed with Mufti, Mahmud sahab till the end. Now I'm thinking in my mind, when is the end? Because now 10 years is finished. So I told him, "Let me go." And that was a schoolboy error. I should have stayed. I finished though. There's no more classes to go to. Finish iftar, you've done everything. All the classes are finished. You're going to stay and what you're going to do? But how happy Maulana would have got if I stayed actually. Then I came back. After 1 year, he passed away. If I stayed that final year, when I look at it in hindsight, it was a very big mistake. I failed the imtihan. So I should have stayed the extra year. Now, but I thought he's 250 some years old. Akhir tak, when is akhir tak? When is going to be the end? I'm going to end up staying 10 years more. So Ahlullah ajib log hote hain. Their hearts are totally connected to Allah Ta'ala. So go to ask all the people for maafi every year. Say, "Mera akhiri saal hai, mera akhiri saal hai. This is my final year, my final year." That's what he used to say. So he says, "Aaj kal hum guna isliye karte hain." Why do we make sin nowadays? It's like a mot ko bula diya. We no more ponder about mot. Go in a qabrastan. Go every day, every 3-4 days, go in a qabrastan. You see, Allah Ta'ala will take out the attachment of the dunya from the heart by going in a qabrastan. You'll get ibrat there. You'll get a lesson when you go there. Umar Rasab used to say that heap on the sand of the qabr, the sand of the heap there on the qabr, that is actually. This is a heap of his aspirations which he left behind. That's what it signifies. And then it comes in a hadith, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِي كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَصِّحَّ وَالْفَرَاغِ. That there are two things that most people are at loss. Take it for granted. Health and free time. When it comes to our health, when we're healthy, then we're not engaging in Allah Ta'ala's ibadat. We're not focusing towards Allah Ta'ala. Abhi waqt hai. We got time. We'll see an end. You don't know when the end is going to come. So why are we thinking like that? Why don't we just say that we'll be turning right now and say, "Han Muhan, Allah, I've made tawbah now, right now, this minute. I'm not waiting till I get old. I'm already starting to take a turn in my life." So that otherwise, everybody takes their health for granted. And farah, free time. Free time, we take it for granted. We got free time, That gives us more time to make ibadah, zikr, tilawat, all these things here. It helps us, free time. Now today, when we get free time, what we do? Haram work. Say, I'm bored now. I don't know what to do with my life. Start doing all haram bandas. So idle mind is the devil's workshop. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. So keep yourself busy in the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. Frequencing majalis, tilawat, zikr, askar, all these things, khidmat of your parents. So I would, or if you can't do all that, at least do some dunyavi activity, but keep yourself busy. Otherwise, what's going to happen? A person, when he got too much time on his hand, then shaitan's going to play with him. And he got few pennies in his pocket, it makes it worse. See, that's when now you start doing all haram things because he says bored, doesn't know what to do. Now, when you have time, it shouldn't take you towards sin. Time should take a person towards ibadah. Especially in when a person is young, you can be, you are energetic. You can make proper ruku, you can make proper sajda. Now when you see people are old, how are they going inside ruku? Battling. So I was going to sajda, battling, getting up is hard. When a person is young, his flux. But there's no jalsatul istiraha. He doesn't have to sit and make aram before he stands. He just stand up straight. So after sajda, stand up straight. It's got the energy. And I get very happy when I see young people coming in the masjid. Before, you know, the young people, you don't see them in the masjid. I travel a lot. And I go to so many places. And what I find, masjids are empty. Youth are absent. You can't see them. You only find few old people in the masjid who got some fikr that time is coming close to meet Allah Ta'ala. So masjid is being inhabited and abad by older people. But the youth, all gone, disappeared. Can't see them. That's not right. That is not right. Just like how we need old people who are making fikr for their akhirat, even the youth also. They have to also be in the masjid. They can't leave the youth. You can't find them anymore. Where are they? They're on the soccer field, they're on the cricket field, they're on this tournament, they're on that campaign, they're not in the masjid. You won't find them. And everywhere it's the same condition. So I went Cape Town, I went all over, same condition, everywhere. Every masjid you go, the same condition. How many youngsters are parable with 5 times salah nowadays? How many youngsters? 5 times salah. Come to the masjid every day with fikr. How many? Count. You see yourself. If you see the stats, it'll break your heart. So when I see young, energetic youngsters coming to the masjid and sitting in the majalis and taking from a young age benefit, I get very happy. Because I understand that what the final outcome will be. Too late in life, you start the whole transformation. Now what about the talafi of mafat? We have to recover all that. That 10, 15, 20, 30 years that we were ghafil. Now we have to do all that. We can't just only go forward and forget the past. You have to go forward and still you have to carry that load of the past. It's not maaf by Allah Ta'ala. You have to fix all that up. So why are we not fixing all the past? So that's why you need to go where the mashayikh, they'll teach you. Like how what Mufti Naibullah Sahib said, if we have qaza namaz, then how you opting for nafil to read when you have qaza namaz? That comes first, that's Allah prioritize. Allah Ta'ala is going to question you. So you get guidance, you know what you're doing. That's why you have to go to the mashayikh. So why the problem is that we shaitan plays in our brain that no, you still got a long life. When you're later on, dekha jayega, then we will put our act together. No. From a young age you start. So the Hadith Sharif is saying the most of the people at loss when it comes to their free time and when it comes to their sihat. We take our sihat for granted. And there's no this thing guarantee how long the sihat is going to be. Something can happen, a person meets up in an accident, can get paralyzed, what can happen overnight, whole life can change. So therefore, the Hadith Sharif is very important. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِي كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَصِّحَ وَالْفَرَارِ. And then, intelligence is also plays a very important role, intelligence, maturity. Some people, even in their old age, they're still their children. They don't think straight. They're not matured enough. And you find people like 30, 40 years old, they're still acting like they have 12-year kids. There's no maturity. And then what we consider to be intelligence nowadays. Say a person, when he earns a lot of money, they say, no, he's intelligent. So that criteria and benchmark, and so that it evolves around how much you earn. If you earn money and you're earning a lot of money, so you're successful. Consider that to be success. Earning a lot of money is considered to be success. You see? Opening one branch and then second branch and then third branch and fourth branch and so many branches, left, right and center. The more you open, the more busy you're going to get. The more busy you're going to get, there's no time left for anything. No time for ibadah, no time for anything. No time for your own life also. You understand? So therefore, expanding and expanding and expanding comes at an expense. And that expense is that now there's no time left for akhirah. You'll work, then sometimes people expand to such a level, then the day comes when they want to retire, they can't even retire. Because nobody can take that thing over. So you're going to work till you die. That's exactly what's going to happen. So therefore, sometimes to make qana'at and have contentment with whatever little Allah Ta'ala has given, and then keep your time free for engagement in Allah Ta'ala's ibadah. Go in the haram, go spend time there 1 month, 2 months, because you don't have that burden. No, we're going to go one project, second project, third project, fourth project. After that, it becomes so much to handle that all the money that you earned, you're going to get sick and you have to use your same money and send that for going in the hospital. This is what happens. So Allah Ta'ala give us the correct balance. And we must make qadar of these two things. Our time as well as our sihat. And aqal mandi got nothing to do with kitna mal admi kama sakta. What for me, what I feel is aqal mandi is that youngster. So that's pardon with his amal, with his askar from a young age. And he's earning some money. He's running his house. He's not muhtaj of anyone. His ball is rolling. Allah is rolling the ball. But his focus is towards the akhirat. There's no person that's more aqalman than him. That's why I tell my students in the class, I said, see, there's one student, I gave him the nickname, I call him Siddiq. Actually, his name is Idris. So I gave him the name Siddiq. So I said, tell him, you see this young boy, his name is Siddiq. He got more brains than all the Japanese put together. Now, Japanese, they are said to have the highest IQ in the world. IQ. IQ means level of intelligence. Japanese, they are very clever. That's why you can see what and what they can design, engineering, and all these kind of things. That you knew those street bullet trains and all that. Where all that started off? That started off in Japan. Then it caught up other places in the world. They're so intelligent. So I tell them, all those big scientists and engineers, everything, they don't have that amount of brains that Siddiq has. Siddiq had more brains than all of them. He accepted Islam, he became a Muslim, and now he's becoming Ali. And nearly completed also. You see? Now that means they got all intelligence. Intelligence is something else, and brains is something else. Even animals, I said, they have levels of intelligence. But brains is those people that use that which Allah has given. That's why it says Ulul Albab. You must use the Ulul Albab. Not, you don't translate it as people with intelligence. You say people with brains. Because even kuffar, they got more intelligence than us. This AI and all these things there, that is their, what they have come up with. They're doing all those things for them, the AI, artificial intelligence and all that. So they're leaving the human beings one side, they're using computers now. You see? So therefore, they have intelligence, but they have no brains. So brains is something else. Brains got nothing to do with how much money you're earning. So Hadith Sharif says, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsah wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. That person that brought his life in accordance with the laws of Allah from a young age, he has the most brains. Nobody got more brains than him. So keep that in mind. That's the criteria. And then in our life that we lead, just take your daily routine. Is there any gaps in your routine that at some change time going forward you'll have to add or subtract or change will come? So there was one buzurg by the name of Abdul Rahman bin Ibn Nu'aym, rahmatullah alayh. He says that meri zindagi mein gunjaish utni gunjaish nahi hai ke main kisi aur amal ka izafa kar saku. That in my life now, in my daily habit, it's so jam packed. There's no gap for me to add anything more. Because I've covered everything. the way I'm living my life now, there's no space left. So I buddy. Right? That's how much amal a person must be making yawman on a daily basis. There's no gaps in his life. To say, okay, I'm not making enough tilawat, I need to increase this, I need to... No. You're covering the entire spectrum. Every time is being allocated for something and something and something. So there's no wastage of time. And you maximize all the time Allah Ta'ala has given. That's important. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Asanati, Allah Ta'ala is going to weigh all our amal. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Every atom amount, Allah Ta'ala is going to weigh. Nothing more going to be weighed. Atom, what's an atom? You know what's an atom? Wow. You see these dust particles. You don't see it now. There's all dust particles here. But when the sun is coming through the glass, then in the sunlight, you'll see dust particles flying there in the sunlight. That zarrah. For that too, we have to be answerable to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. That's why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions that when a person gets up in the morning, he must make a pledge with Allah Ta'ala. Ke aaj main koi kisi waqt mein koi gunah nahi karunga. Make that pledge the minute your eyes open in the morning that for today I won't make one gunah. All the faraiz, all the wajibat that's in my zimma, main ada kar dunga. You don't take the whole life, you take one day at a time. Otherwise, if you take your whole life, how am I going to do it? That becomes difficult. But take one day. Aaj ka din, main subah mein Allah se wada karta hu. I make a mu'ahada with Allah Ta'ala. I make a pledge with Allah Ta'ala that for today I'm not going to commit any sin. And I'm going to do all the wajibat. And all the huquq of Allah Ta'ala, huquq of ibad, pure toh se main ada karunga. I'm going to fulfill it. And then when he takes this pledge, Dr. Abdul Hayy Lakhnawi rahmatullah alayhi says, ne izafa farmaya ke ay Allah aap muahada ki tawfiq ata farma dijiye. So when you take the pledge, make dua also. Allah took this pledge, now give me the tawfiq to fulfill my pledge that I'm making with you. So then you can go out in the world, go to your business, go to your practice, go to your whatever profession you are, go and do that. But in the morning, when you leave your house, from the time your eyes open, make this pledge with Allah Ta'ala that I'm not going to do anything that is wrong. Somebody may ask you, and then go and do. Then when you after you finish your entire day, you came back home. Right? Now, before you sleep, make muhasabah. Make muhasabah. Take stock for the day. Normally when we go in our business, then the closing time, what they do? Cash up. So the cashiers have to cash up, they have to round off the tills, then they bring the till slip to you, then they'll bring all their change, so to count that also is the mission. And you have to have special people to do all that, because that's so time consuming and all that. You see? Nowadays they have machines to count the money also. So otherwise if you have to count it by hand, it's so difficult. So in the olden days, the coins they should count by hand also. Now you get weighing machines, luckily for that. Otherwise you go in the bank and one person comes with a whole box of coins, finished, half a day is gone. Nowadays, just take it, put it on the scale. They'll tell you how much money there is there. You see? So things have got a bit advanced now. But nevertheless, as it says, before you sleep now, that you must make muhasabah with Allah Ta'ala. If you are kamyab in your pledge that you took in the morning, if you are successful in the pledge, make shukr on a daily basis. Say, Allah, I took a pledge with you in the morning and I fulfilled my pledge. I never make guna the whole day. Say, Allah, I'm making shukr to you. Jazakallah. Allah Ta'ala, you know, say Jazakallah. Allah, say shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Say shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. It's giving tawfiq to fulfill the pledge of the day. And you must say, Allahumma laka alhamd wa laka shukr. Say, Allah, all praises are to you and all shukr to you. Then Allah Ta'ala will give tawfiq of increase the next day. La in shakartum la azidannakum. So as you go, one day you'll see Allah is giving tawfiq to increase, making more shukr every day. But what happened if we took the pledge and we never fulfilled it? But we were doing all wrong things during the day. So namaz time, we went to play cricket. Namaz got qada. All these things. So then you have to make tawbah. You broke the pledge with Allah Ta'ala. So before you sleep, you make tawbah. That's it. And Hazrat says, Now, sometimes what you have to do is, you have to punish yourself also. You see, every time you see you breaking the pledge, to saza lagado. Say, I'm give 50 rand, sadqa. Now you start feeling the pain. You see? See, people now to let money go, that's very tight. Everything else is easy, but to put their hand in the pocket and pull out the notes, they find that to be very difficult. So therefore, this is what you have to do. Take the make a pledge with Allah Ta'ala, mu'ahada, and then muhasaba, and then in the end mu'aqaba. Mu'aqaba means punishment. You punish your own self. For every namaz I missed, I'm take out, I never read on time, so many rands gonna go. You will see after a short while when your money is all going, you say, hey, I can't afford this. Rather, let me get it up to date. Now people's qaza namaz for years and years never read namaz. You know, if you start calculating and how expensive it is to pay, this fidya for that namaz, it can go into millions of rands. That the estate will be mostly wiped out in paying the fellows money which he never, okay, if you do a calculation, but take six namazes per day, he never performed. How much that is? 180 rand a day, say 200 rand a day, times 30 days in a month, do the maths, times 12 months, times 10 years, times 20 years. So now go 2 million rand, 3 million rand, owing to Allah Ta'ala. So, and that too you can only make that a wasiyat if you about to die and there's no time left for you to perform it. Otherwise, if you are well and healthy, you can't say, I got the money, I'll just give the money. No, it doesn't work that way. You got the health, you got the physical strength, and you have to perform it physically. Yeah, the finance part of it will only kick in if you can't do it physically, and then you become like a person who's bedridden or something like that. Then that's a separate issue. So you must make mu'aqaba, put some saza on yourself also, punishment on yourself. That Allah, I took the pledge, I failed in the pledge, now I made mushasaba, everything went fail, said that, and so many percent I've done, and so many percent I lost, okay, I have to pay you, and every day for everything you take out sadaqah, sadaqah. By the time you see 2-3 days, 2-4-5 days, all your whole month's salary is gone. There's nothing left. You see? So you have to do some punishment also, otherwise the nafs, to bring it under control. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day, his tahajjud namaz got qada. He cried the whole day, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, for one tahajjud got qada. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu cried the whole day because one of his tahajjud he never get up for. Now shaitan, when he saw that Muawiyah cried the whole day for one tahajjud, next day shaitan himself came to get him up. You might as well read your tahajjud. Because whole day he cried, how much high his maqam went. He rather reached the tahajjud. Shaitan bhi hai, jajib aadmi hai. So Allah Ta'ala, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. We have to take stock, make pledge with Allah Ta'ala, make muhasabah with Allah Ta'ala, make mu'aqabah with Allah Ta'ala. And also muraqabah is also important. And when sitting alone, ponder. What's that? Ponder. A certain big awliyaullah, their muraqabah is not like ours. Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chisti rahmatullah alayhi, when he used to go into muraqabah, he should make mushahada. He shouldn't even know it's namaz time. They have to come and shake him. Hazrat, salah, salah, salah. So that's when he used to get up to go for salah. Mu'inuddin Chisti rahmatullah alayhi. That's how our Hazrat said, mentioned that. Regarding Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chisti's muraqabah, how it used to be. He won't even hear the azan. He's in that halat. Then 2-3 fellows have to go there, shake him, and say, salah! So then he would get up, go read salah. So this is what it is. So these are the different aspects that are important when it comes to tasawwuf and how we're going to go on this journey. You see? And then when you are a small child, you hold on to somebody's hand. The child, don't allow the child to cross the road by itself. The car can come and knock the child. So first what we do is we learn to teach the child how to walk, We do everything like that. When the child is learning how to walk, then you see what the mother does or the father does. They stand slightly further away, take a few steps back, and they call the child. Say, come here. Now, sometimes in the first few steps, the child will fall down. Then the child will stand up like that, and take the few steps running to the parents. And when the child takes those few steps, everybody is so happy. And then towards the end now, when it's coming close, then the child just lunges forward into his mother's hands, into his father's hands. So we must learn from that. That tum apna hissa pura kar lo. You fulfill what you need to do. Allah ta'ala apna hissa pura karayenge. Allah will do what He needs to do and you must do what you have to do. You take a lunge towards Allah ta'ala. Imagine a child got so much of bharosa on his father, he's able to jump into an air because he feels my father will catch me. He's raving. Sometimes he's on the bed, say jump, jump off the bed, we catch the child. Got so much i'timad on his father that he says my father won't drop me. So you think we take a lunge towards Allah, Allah will drop us? Take that lunge towards Allah ta'ala. Jump towards Allah ta'ala and then see how Allah ta'ala catches us and Allah ta'ala secures us. So therefore, this is the daily routine that is required, and also dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was left was this ayat which I wanted to read yesterday. This ayat, it comes in Tafsir al-Baydawi, that tubu ila bari'ikum faqtulu anfusakum. That make tawbah to Allah ta'ala and kill yourself. Faqtulu anfusakum. That's the ayat of the Quran. Tubu ila bari'ikum faqtulu anfusakum. Kill yourself. So in Baydawi, in the Tafsir, they got that. That jab Allah ke liye shahwat ko chhorenge, when we leave our desires for the sake of Allah ta'ala, to Allah ki taraf se in'amat milenge. Allah ta'ala will bestow us with His favors because we took that lunge towards Allah ta'ala, we left our desires for Allah ta'ala, and in favor Allah ta'ala will bless us with all the ni'mats of this world. Aur jo nafs ko marta nahi hai, and that person that's not prepared to kill his nafs, to in'am se mahroom hoga. He will be deprived of the iman, in'amat of Allah ta'ala. Deprived of that. So therefore, it's very important for us to do this on a daily basis. Mutu qabla an tamutu hasibu. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Masoodullah Khan, alayhi rahmah, in his chitti, he used to write there always. No, until the end of his life, he couldn't read the correspondence. He was too old. So what he used to do, the letters used to come. Then in each letter, he give a standard answer. Standard answer. Understand that? He should say, I'm too old now. Make maaf, I can't go through your letter, I can't. But make amal on this. Nafska muhasaba. That's one thing he used to say. Do account of your own deeds in this world by yourself. Do it. And second thing he used to say, kisi ko tahkir ki nigaah se mat dekho. Don't look down on anyone. These two things, which was standard answer Hazrat used to give to every murid, that was right towards the end of his life, because we were there right in the end. Sanaji, that make muhasaba on a daily basis and don't look down on anyone. Don't look down on anyone. So that was like a standard advice. And I never went into any majlis of Maulana Masoodullah Khan in which he never said, speak about kisi ko hikarat ki nigaah mein se mat dekha. Don't look down on anyone. That was like daily. He put that in our hearts. He put it. That's why the Ahlullah, all kinds of people come to them. But they don't chase anyone away. So let him stay here. So he'll benefit. His life will change. So he doesn't do other things. Come as come namaz to parhe. At least he'll read his namaz. If he goes home, he won't even read namaz also. So by staying here in a good environment, at least he'll read his 5 times salah. So he'll benefit in that way. Do you understand? So these are the concepts of the tasawwuf that are important, that we make amal on it. And obviously our zikr and askar on a daily basis, tilawat of Quran on a daily basis. And our munajat with Allah Ta'ala, our daily whispering, talking. So you're making friends with Allah Ta'ala. How you may have friends? You see, we have friends, we have so many friends. We make all kinds of friends we have. The biggest friend is Allah Ta'ala. Why don't make Allah your friend? That's why I said awliyaullah. They are the friends of Allah Ta'ala. Friends. That's awliya. And then once you become the friend of Allah Ta'ala, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Now there's no fear. Allah removed it. No fear for you. There's no grief for you. Nothing. You my friend. I got your back. That's what Allah Ta'ala is saying. I got your back. You have become my friend. So Allah Ta'ala make us his friends. Mm-hmm. I said that, huh? Every one of us has potential. It comes in a hadith. We are like ma'adin, ka ma'adin al-dhahabi wal-fidda. Like the gold and silver from the mine. When it comes out from there, it has a little bit of sand on it, it has dust on it, it has what and what on it. But once you give it a slight polish, then the shine starts coming through. See? So therefore, our job is to remove the dirt from the top and let the shine start coming through. Then see people, they change their lives and how they change their lives. What were their previous life? And what is the after Tawbah, what the life becomes after Tawbah. What was the previous life and what is the new life? You'll never say it's the same person. And so once the person makes proper Tawbah, he doesn't want to go back. He's like a person who comes out of Kufr and comes to Iman. He enters into Iman after was in Kufr before. Do you think he'll ever want to go back to Kufr after tasting the Nur of Iman? Nah, he'll never want to go back to Kufr after tasting the Nur of Iman. In the same way, if a person changes his life for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and starts getting the halawa of Iman and the sweetness of Iman, he'll never want to go back to his previous life. Never. So that even that company that he used to keep, he'll leave that company. He will go away from them. Even if it means going one side, being ostracized, whatever. So many kafir people, so that when they accept Islam, their families ostracize them actually. How difficult they are, what you call this here, halat they have to go through. We had that one student that was studying here. So he passed away now, the Brazilian. Sanaji. His father threw him out on the road. And his father was one of the most richest people in Brazil. And the same person here, this person who passed away, Abdullah, he was a televangelist. He had an audience like 500,000 people. And he went to Israel, he studied the Bible for 7 years. And when Allah gave him hidayat, he was prepared to sleep on the street after his father threw him out. He was sleeping on the road. He said, that place, it was so cold, I used to sleep under the bench. And snowing. Then one day my father, he had raham on me, he gave me one car. So he sleep in the car. So he took the car, he slept in it for a while, then he sold the car. He took the money, he went for Hajj. So when Allah gives hidayat, then people's lives change. They don't want to go back. And when he was studying here, he should just tell him, Mufsab, I want Jannat, I want Jannat, I want Jannat. That's all was on his tongue all the time. I want Jannat, I want Jannat. I think Allah Ta'ala said this person, his tamanna is so much for Jannah. He just went from here back to Brazil. He had a heart attack here. He went back to Brazil and he passed away. And he still had a 2-year visa, student visa on our madrasa name. Still 2 years was still. So he passed away as a talib. See, when a person, Allah Ta'ala takes him out from zulmat and brings him towards the noor of hidayat, he'll never want to go back. In the same way, a person's past life, prior to Tawbah, that's a life of misery. Sanat, it's a life of terrible jahala. Sanat, every law of Allah Ta'ala a person will. Now when he makes a proper tawbah and he comes on this side and he starts doing good deeds for Allah Ta'ala, so in that circumstance, what's going to happen? He'll start getting nur. He'll find a closeness with Allah Ta'ala deep down in his heart. He'll find anwarat. He'll be able to sacrifice, let his family go. Sanat, family starts ostracizing, wives leave them, fathers kick them out. They have no friends left in society. They all by themselves. But that qurbani they prepared to make because the dawlat of iman, they have the dawlat of iman. Once you get the dawlat of iman, you can't look back. You got everything. So people's life change. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of changing our lives for the better. So that leave our past lives in the past. Muhammad Sullah will conclude with this. He should say, mazika ghamne. There's no gham or worry of whatever happened in the past. That's spilt milk now. That's gone under the bridge. So you can't keep on worrying about what you've done in the past. That's gone. Finished. Put it behind you. It's finished. Your old life, that is. So there's water under the bridge, they say. That's gone. Leave that. Or mustaqbil. Kifikarne. What's going to happen in the future? You can't worry about that. That's also out of our control. That's in Allah's control. Our taqdeer is not in our hands. That's in Allah Ta'ala's hands. So our past is gone. Our future, Allah Ta'ala will make the determination. Hal ka atibar. Worry about now. Today, this moment, what is my imani condition right now? Take stock of that. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.
I'll make zikr.